नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नैते श्रुति पार्थ जानन् योगी मुह्यति कश्चन तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु योगयुक्तो भवार्जुन।
Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. So, text number 27 and 28, they deal with supremacy of bhakti in attaining supreme. Supremacy of bhakti in attaining supreme. Text number 27 and 28. So, in the previous verses, Krishna was explaining about two paths. The path of leaving the body in light and leaving the body in dark, or leaving Uttarayan and Dakshinayan. So, if one leaves the body in a particular path, he gets liberation, another person doesn't get liberation. So, when devotees of Krishna come to know of this, how do they respond? That is explained in this verse. He says, although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. Why are the devotees not bewildered even after knowing these two paths? Because devotees know it is not by our endeavor that we achieve Krishna or the kingdom of God, but it is by Krishna's mercy that we achieve the kingdom of God. As we said earlier also, the yogis and jnanis have to work very hard to achieve a status of becoming eligible to get liberated. Whereas a devotee never considers himself qualified, even if he is qualified, to be liberated. In fact, devotion service itself is rendered on a liberated platform only. Devotion service actually begins when one is liberated. Still, devotee never considers himself liberated. So, the example is given of a monkey, the offspring of a monkey catching the mother's breast and going from place to place. You have seen a monkey, how she carries her offspring? That's like a jnani or a yogi. Whereas a devotee is not like that. Devotee is like the chicken in the mouth of the mother's cat. So devotee is personally protected by Krishna. Whereas yogi and jnani and all these different transcendentalists, they try to stand on their own strength by performing different kinds of activities, as we have seen in the previous chapters. However, a yogi and a jnani work very hard to control the mind and senses. So here Prabhupada writes one interesting sentence, you can see the purport, maybe 5th or 6th line. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in His service. And this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain and direct. So here, Prabhupada is explaining how we were discussing about auspiciousness and inauspiciousness in the last class. Those who are not bhaktas, they have to worry about this so much, auspiciousness and inauspiciousness. Especially the Marka Brahmins, they worry about auspiciousness very much. And even jnani, yogis and all of them, they have to see the time of leaving the body. You can see, 9th chapter, there is a verse number 28 that clarifies this point. Shubha shubha phalai devam mokshase karma bandhanehi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mama paishasi. Here Krishna says, shubha shubha phalai devam. He says, in this way, you will be free from bondage to work and its auspiciousness and inauspicious results. Shubha Shubha Phalai Deva. Which means, if your results are auspicious or inauspicious, Moksha Se Karma Bandhane. You will become free from Karma Bandhan. Moksha Se means you will be liberated from Karma Bandhan. That means by rendering Krishna service, the results may apparently sometimes be inauspicious also. Like Jatayu was killed in his battle with Ravan. So death is considered inauspicious. But here he is saying Ashubha, Shubha Ashubha. Sometimes the result is glorious, Shubha, even according to the material standards of this world. Somebody comes out successfully, like Hanuman went to Sri Lanka and found that Mother Sita is in Ashokan, so he came back with the result. Successful result. So one is successful, another one is not successful. But in either case, he says, Moksha se karma bandhanai. So one becomes free from karma bandhan. Shubha Shubha Phalai Devam Moksha se karma bandhanai. And then he says, Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Vam Parishasi. Sanyasa Yoga Yukta Atma. So one who is engaged in this kind of life of Krishna consciousness, one is Sukshimitam Krishna. Vimukto Vam Parishasi. Then one gets suddenly liberated and goes back to Krishna. So this is actually the conclusive statement of what we were discussing in the last class. Shubha Shubha Phalai Devam Moksha se karma bandhanai. So in our lives, all of us, we can become free from all kinds of material bondage by linking ourselves to Krishna. There is another verse also in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Shubha Shubha Parityagi Yomad Bhakta Samirtuya. Where does it come? 12th chapter. Shubha Shubha Parityagi Yomad Bhakta Samirtuya. The devotee never says, oh, this is auspicious, so I will do it, I like it. Oh, this is inauspicious, I won't do it. No, he doesn't distinguish between auspicious and inauspicious when it comes to the question of Krishna's order. Like Arjuna was told, for the sake of upholding Dharma, to kill his enemies, which is an inauspicious activity. So he did. Yudhishthira was told to tell a lie by Krishna, which is considered inauspiciousness according to the standard of Dharma. So Yudhishthira did it. So, we can give many examples to show how devotee puts aside his own conception of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness when it comes as Krishna's order. That is the meaning of Shubha Shubha Parityagi Yomad Bhakta Samirtuya. So whatever it takes to become Krishna conscious, a devotee accepts it. That is why here it is safe, certain and direct. Krishna consciousness is very safe. Because even the tiniest service that we might have rendered some time ago, long time ago, Krishna preserves it very safely. And at the right time he reminds us of him and he takes us back to himself. This is the beauty of Krishna conscious path. You see, when we bring Krishna into picture, then it is his problem to deliver us, more than being our problem. Even tiniest service, svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Prayate Mahato Bhayat. Svalpa means a very little amount. Even a little bit of devotion service you have done, Krishna will remember it. Immediately he registers this in your account. And then at the right time he will somehow or other intervene in your life and again take you back to himself. So how do we begin this svalpam, little bit of devotion service? How does it begin? That begins even if one verbally appreciates Krishna or the things connected to Krishna, anything connected to Krishna, paraphernalia of Krishna, then it is called as devotion service. Immediately it begins. Prabhupada says in our temples, we should keep them so neat and clean. The floor should be so thoroughly cleaned, and the deity should be gorgeously dressed, and temple should be fragrant. Even the atheists who are passing by, they should see the cleanliness of the temple and they should become impressed. Even they will be forced to appreciate how wonderful this temple is. Then they will make advancement by such an appreciation. So everything begins with appreciation. Like, you know, Jarai Madai, they just casually were calling the holy names. And they were saying this Hare Krishna, they sing very nicely. They just passed, they comment when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing some kirtan in Shiva Sangam. So they heard the kirtan and they passed the comment. Immediately the spiritual life begins. Immediately they get some sukriti by that. So Prabhupada writes in one place, We should create facilities for the karmis to appreciate devotional service and Krishna, so that they begin their spiritual life. So every devotee should be working in this direction. How to make all other suffering people of the world appreciate devotional service. So everyone appreciates different things. Somebody appreciates prasad. Prasad is the best way he can see Krishna. He cannot see Krishna in any better way. And some time comes, then he can understand this is Krishna. He wants to relish it and appreciate. There are some who will appreciate philosophy. There are some who appreciate the architectural design of the temple. There are some who appreciate kirtan, bhajan. So different people appreciate different things. So when you give them opportunity, then people can begin their devotion service. But once a living being has done little devotion service, he can never give up Krishna after that. Krishna makes note of it, and Krishna will be chasing that person. Literally the word chase can be used, because he will be following up to see that this person becomes a proper devotee, full-fledged devotee, after that. In fact, even those who are worshipping demigods, after many lifetimes of worshipping devatas, if they come to a point of entering Krishna's temple, Krishna feels so nice. Udara sarva yevaite jnani tvatvaiva me matam asita sahityuktatma mameva anuttamam gatim. Udara, he says. Udara sarva yevaite. These are magnanimous souls who are coming to me with their material desires to worship me. If Krishna says those coming with material desires to him are magnanimous, what to speak of those who are following in the footsteps of pure devotees? How much more Krishna will be pleased with them? Can you imagine that? So Krishna is pleased even with those who come to him with material desires, because they have found the right path. They have found the royal road. They understood Krishna to be supreme and are coming to him for shelter. So that devotional service has begun. And then from that time Krishna will see to it that they come back to him. Why is it safe? Little bit of devotion service Ajamila did in the earlier part of his life, when he was a young Brahmin. But then he got distracted from his goal of life by coming in contact with a prostitute, and he fell from his standards. Later on, in the second of his life, again Lord reminded him about himself. And then again he became well situated in devotion service. So this can happen to a devotee in one lifetime, or it may happen in many lifetimes also. But Krishna keeps track. He never forgets. Krishna told Muchikunda that in a previous lifetime he wanted my darshan. Actually Muchikunda had completely forgotten. Even we forget. Just imagine if you have put money in a bank. You have put 1 lakh rupees in a bank. And then you lost your checkbook. And you changed your house. You went to another country. And then several years later, after 20, 30 years, if the bank people are trying to find out where you are, they chase you. And they come to your place where you are living and they come and tell you, sir, your bank, in your bank account so much money is there, 1 lakh. Has anybody done like that? I don't know what they do in the bank. So anybody working in bank can tell us. Whether they chase you and give you the money back. I think they have some standard amount of years, I think. After which, after that if you don't take the money, probably it will be dissolved. 10 years?
10 years, they transfer it to Reserve Bank.
They transfer it to Reserve Bank after 10 years, he's saying. So it didn't come to you. So the point is, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that long ago we rendered some devotion service, Krishna keeps in mind. And he comes to you and he reminds you, see, you are a devotee, what are you doing now? Why are you wasting your life? And he immediately takes us back. See, how this happens is because of the most merciful eternal concept of the Lord Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi is called as internal potency. So anybody who becomes a devotee comes under the custody of the Divine Mother, Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi. So they are protected. That is why devotees pray for the Karuna Kataksh, Karuna Kataksh, for the glance of the Divine Mother. By her mercy one can remain fixed in devotion service. She is actually an embodiment of devotion. She is like the ocean of devotion. And if one can get her attention, then one can very easily achieve favor of Krishna. in any, even in ordinary material life also, if a wife tells a husband something, then immediately husband takes it very seriously. Isn't it? Because if she proposes something, this should be done like this, immediately husband takes it seriously. Similarly, one can convince Lakshmi ji or Srimati Radharani, then Krishna has a soft corner. It can be very easily accomplished. But if you go directly to a man and tell him that this is what I want, give me, then you may not have any soft corner. He may not pay attention to you. That is why in all the Vaishnava traditions, it is customary to pray to the mother. Like in South also, they have Lakshmi ji's separate temple where they worship Lakshmi ji, to mother Lakshmi. Of course, we don't pray Lakshmi ji, give me Lakshmi, I will enjoy. Give me money to enjoy. We don't pray like that. We pray to her, please make me a devotee of Narayan. Please let me become a devotee. Let me become a pure devotee. So then she will keep the devotee under her custody. Then one can make swift advancement in spiritual life. That is why it is said, Daivi Shesha, what is it? No, not that. Daivi Mahatmanastu Maam Partha, Daivi Prakriti Mahashita. So Mahatmas are those who are under the custody of Lakshmi or Sita or Srimati Radharani. Daivim Prakriti Mahashita. So they always glorify the Lord's eternal concept, because Lord's eternal concept is the topmost devotee of the Lord. So that is how the spiritual life becomes very safe. In fact, in every pastime you will see Lakshmi Narayan or Radha Krishna or Sitaram, Lord's concept has a role to play. Like now, one devotee was doing meditation and cooking sweet rice, isn't it? So Lakshmi ji asked the question to Narayan. Isn't why are you laughing? So Lakshmi Narayan, that only discussion is about devotees only. They have no other business. So every time you are finding them, she'll be asking, what happened to this devotee? What happened to that devotee? Always. So one story comes to my mind of one Viprinarayan. This Viprinarayan was also a Vishnu Bhakta, a devotee of Narayan. Every day he used to grow tulasi in his garden and water the tulasi, and he was a gardener. So very faithfully he used to worship. His mind was fixed in the deities of Lakshmi Narayan. One day, in his garden, when he was gardening and doing other things, one Deva Devi, she used to go to the Chola king often. She is like a prostitute. She used to go. So one day she was passing through this garden, and she happened to see this Viprinarayan at distance, taking care of the plants. So she was lying under a tree for taking some rest. After Viprinarayan was serving, doing all the work in the garden, but he never paid even a little attention to her. And she was greatly surprised. In fact, she had a challenge with her sister. Her sister had told her, if you can distract this Viprinarayan from his service to the Lord, and if you can distract him, then I will become your servant for 6 months. Her sister had told her. What kind of that you see? If you can distract this person from Krishna consciousness, I will become your servant. Her sister told her. So she wanted to play a game in the life of Viprinarayan. You see, when one's mind is fixed in the deity, then one will see that one is calmly situated within, one is rejoicing life, one is ecstatic, as you often call it, not happy, ecstatic, as you say. And one spreads ecstasy to others when one's mind is fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord. But if one gets distracted from the service to Lord, immediately one goes crazy. Then what will one do, we can't say. And how will one behave? And one loses all peace of mind and becomes a slave of his own mind and senses. And runs here and there for happiness and is never able to achieve it. So everyone engaged in devotion service at one time or the other will face some kind of distraction. Maya can come in various forms. Here in the life of Viprinarayan, it came in the form of woman, attraction for opposite sex. In somebody's life, it can come in the form of wealth. Like we hear the story of Kulashekara, before he became a devotee. What was his name? When he was very small boy? Yamanacharya. What was his name? Not Kulashekara, Yamanacharya. Yamanacharya, when he was a small boy, he was at that time a devotee. He was reading Bhagavad Gita, he was associating with devotees. But then he got half the kingdom in one debate competition. Once the kingdom came, he completely forgot Krishna. He became completely forgetful of Krishna. And became a king, became very materialistic. And surrounded by so many other ministers and followers and elephants and chariots, he became a very busy, busy king. And then later on, by the arrangement of his grandfather, Dasamuni, he was brought back to track, to devotion service. Krishna arranged to bring him back. So it's a very nice pastime, how he came back to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, here we find Rudra Narayan, an innocent person, how he got distracted from his spiritual life. So he was rendering service, and she went and fell at his feet and begged him, "Sir, please give me some service. I am a lonely woman, I have nothing to do, I have no food to eat. So kindly give some service. I just want a little bit of food every day, and I will take care of the garden." And innocent Rudra Narayan permitted her. And she was rendering service, and 6 months passed by, she didn't speak a single word, rendering a service peacefully. But after 6 months, one day when it was raining, Rudra Narayan took pity on her, that you are still rendering service in the rain, go and take, be in the shelter. She went into the cottage, and because she was seductive by nature, she allured him. And when he became allured by her behavior, then as soon as she observed he has become crazy, immediately she left him. And went away to her house. And Narayan ran to her house. It was raining heavily, he was sitting outside and begging her, "Please come out, please accept me." So one can become mad. Infatuation due to wealth, due to education, due to opposite sex, all these things is very painful in one's life. One becomes maddened. When that spell of Maya comes on us, then one becomes blinded. Then even a very learned person, he becomes a fool, number one. So Rudra Narayan had become like a fool. So one has to always pray to Krishna, "Please keep me under your feet, shade of your feet." If you are under Krishna's feet, we are very safe. If you leave Krishna, then we are inviting danger. Like one Prabhupada was telling all his disciples, that Maya can never touch me. I can, even if, like Prabhupada was sitting in a place where there was some rock music going on, rock and roll. So Prabhupada took some of his disciples to preach that. They gave him opportunity to speak a little bit. So he spoke a little bit of Krishna consciousness. And then came down from the dais and told the disciples, "Come, let's go away immediately. This is no place for a brahmachari," he said. So there is no place for a brahmachari or a sannyasi. Because there were boys and girls and all half naked, and in countries abroad, you know how they look like. So Prabhupada was telling him that even in such a place, my mind will not be disturbed. Maya cannot attack me. And then he went close to the altar, and with folded palms he was very intensely praying. And when one devotee heard Prabhupada praying, and what was Prabhupada praying? He was praying to Srimati Radharani, "So please protect me from Maya." He was praying to her, "And please save me from Maya. Please always keep me under your feet." So that is why Prabhupada would constantly say that Maya cannot touch me. How could he say Maya cannot touch me? He is praying constantly that please protect me from Maya. So if a devotee is always under the shelter of Krishna's feet, then he is very safe. That's how one is saved from Maya. Otherwise Maya has, how many different types of Maya are there? You cannot predict. For every one of the senses there are millions of objects. How one has become distracted, we cannot even predict it. So here, unfortunately, Rudra Narayan's condition was like this. One day, the day when Lord's procession was going on, Lakshmi Narayan, deities were being taken in the procession, Lakshmiji saw that here is Rudra Narayan, serious condition. She spoke to Narayan, "Just seeing a devotee, he was so faithfully serving you. He was one of the best devotees. What happened to him? Why did you kick him away like this? Now we see his condition. He has lost all peace of mind. He has lost all the divine happiness that he was achieving in his heart. Now he has become just like an animal. What happened to him? Please again reinstate him in devotion service." You see, when a person is situated in devotion service, he has special ornaments in his body which are appreciated by the whole world. There are no ornaments. Don't think he will be wearing some kundal and some nose ring and some mukut. That is not ornament. The special ornament of a devotee are his divine qualities. अद्वेष्टा सर्वभूतानां मैत्रकरुणयैव च निर्ममो निरहंकार समदुःखसुखक्षणे संतुष्टः सततं योगी यदात्मा दृढनिश्चयः नह्यर्पितमनः बुद्धिः यो मद्भक्तसमयप्रियः यस्मान्नो द्विजते लोको लोकान्नो द्विजते च यः हर्षामर्ष भयोद्वेगैर्मुक्तो यस्य च मे प्रियः समशत्रौ च मित्रे च हि फ्रेंड ऑफ एवरीवन हि हैज नो एनवी इन हिज हार्ट एंड हि नेवर डिस्टर्ब्स द पीपल ऑफ द वर्ल्ड एंड इवन इफ द पीपल ऑफ द वर्ल्ड डिस्टर्ब हिम हि इज नेवर डिस्टर्ब्ड एंड शीत उष्ण सुख दुख हि इज इक्विपोइज्ड हि नेवर हैंकर्स फॉर नेम एंड फेम और ऑनर ऑफ प्रेस्टीज हि लिव्स वेरी सिंपल लाइफ हि इज सिंपली अ सोल्ड आउट स्लेव ऑफ कृष्णा So these are actually the ornaments of a devotee. So these ornaments satisfy him completely during Sri Krishna service and anyone who observes such a pure devotee of the Lord, like that was Prabhupada's duty. When Prabhupada went abroad, how people said he was beautiful. He was an old man. A old man, how did he look beautiful? Because of the devotional qualities he had, he appeared beautiful. But when a devotee leave Krishna consciousness, he becomes bereft of all beauty. So that beauty is lost. So we all have to preserve our Krishna consciousness. One reason we can be beautiful in Krishna's eyes and beautiful for everyone. Otherwise we become bereft of all beauty. We may earn a lot of material wealth. We may earn name and fame. We may become famous. But if we are infatuated by any of these things like pride or wealth or attraction for opposite sex, all those things will make us bereft of all beauty. So Lakshmiji was very concerned. How is it that your devotee, who was such a faithful devotee, why did you do this to him? Narayan smiled and said, all this is my play, just wait and see what will happen to him. Then after some time, he started following her, going to her house. One of these days, what happened was, somebody from the temple took the silver glass and came and gave it to Devadevi and told her, this has been sent by Vipra Narayan to you, please take it. And she immediately accepted and kept it under her pillow. And then very shortly, the king's servants came to know that the silver glass in the temple of the Lord was lost and it is very costly. And immediately the pujari was arrested. And then the people, 2-3 people concerned, connected to that, were arrested. But one of the men who were arrested was the husband of the servant maid working in Devadevi's house. She became very vigilant. She said, she came to know that the glass is here. She was in Devadevi's house and she went and reported to the king that it was given by some Vipra Narayan's man to Devadevi. So immediately the king arrested both of them and then kept them in jail. Now Lakshmi became very concerned. She again asked Narayan, what is happening to your devotee? Just see, already you punished him before. Now you are punishing him even more. You are putting him in jail. For what reason? And then Lord appeared in the dream of the king and told the king, my dear king, this devotee of mine is really a very great devotee. But in his previous life, he has committed a lot of sinful acts for which I wanted to give him a token punishment. And now my punishment is over. So immediately you deliver him from the jail. King heard it and at once he removed both of them from the jail and he even gave the glass back to Devadevi and sent them off. And then Vipra Narayan came to his senses immediately. After that he became a very exalted devotee. He is called as Bhakta Charana Renu Alvar in Sanskrit. Thundar Adipur Alvar they call him Tamil. Bhakta means Bhakta Charana Renu Das. So he became a servant of the dust particle in the feet of every devotee. He served all the devotees. He realized that now onwards, unless I serve the devotees with my heart, I can never remain safe in Krishna consciousness. So we see how even if a devotee goes away from Krishna consciousness, still the divine couple, they will bring them back. They will bring the devotee back to Krishna consciousness. That is actually part of the safety. Narada Muni says in Bhagavatam, that's a verse, that Krishna conscious path is so nectarian that even one who has performed little service to Krishna, that nectar he gets in that service, one drop of nectar he gets, that one drop of nectar is enough for him. Even if he goes far away from Krishna, again he will come running back because of getting that one drop of taste. All of you, you all try to recollect your early days in Krishna consciousness. When you had just come to Krishna consciousness, there has to be at least one or two things that gave you intense taste in devotional life, which drove you to take this path more seriously. Isn't it? We all have some experience, like came to the temple, you met a devotee, he was so sweet, so nice, well behaved, and that got imprinted in your mind. Or you ate some prasadam which you could never forget in your life. You know? Like that, or you heard one kirtan, and you really became, your heart became devotionally agitated, and you could never forget that kirtan. So there are certainly turning points in all of our lives. And that drop of bhakti which you have done, that drives us further to take it more seriously. And then you become more and more serious afterwards. So, Nada says that even if one has done little service, that taste is like a hook which keeps one intact in devotional life. Even if one goes away, he is pulled back again to the feet of Krishna. Like Dilanamala Thakur had done some devotional service in the past. Later on he had forgotten completely. He was attracted by Chintamani. But then later on when Chintamani asked him, you have so much attraction for me, if only you have a minuscule, a small infinitesimal portion of this attraction for Krishna, you would have achieved him long ago. Immediately there was a lightning in his mind. As soon as he heard this, he said, yes, what you are saying is correct. Now I will at once become a devotee of Krishna. Then he left everything and he became such a great devotee. He wrote Krishna Pranamrita, which is so famous. So, Krishna keeps track of his devotee very much. Through somebody, by putting a devotee in a particular situation, Krishna drives him back to his own lotus feet. How he will do that you cannot predict. But somehow or other he will do that. So Krishna is very merciful. So there is nothing in this world which can be considered very safe or permanent. Just like, say I speak a lecture, it can be recorded in an audio tape. But then audio tape will go away after some time. Isn't it? Or somebody may record in a notebook, but then as years pass by, even notebooks will be gone. Or they record in a CD, isn't it? And CD may last for maybe a century or whatever. It will be gone. So the nature of the material world is that all the things deteriorate. And there is nothing permanent in this world. So also is the safety assured by anybody in this world. If I ask you all of you, now think about safety of your own life. What gives you confidence that you are very protected and safe? So immediately a child will think of his mother and father. Your grown up person may think of his father and grandfather, or his bank balance, or his own property in his name. I have the papers of my house in my name, or I have bank balance. So these things will protect me. That's the first thing that comes. Our life insurance agency, Yogakshemam, one remember that. So these things we consider to be very safe. Yes, it's very safe. I don't say you don't arrange for that safety, but even after arranging for that safety, one should realize that this safety is no safety. Because when the earthquake came, the house broke down completely and fell on a person who was counting money. And when they were taking out the corpses, they found one man was having money in his hand, out of rupee notes. So even if we have all these facilities, nothing can protect us. There is no safety at all. Where is the shelter by achieving which one will become free from all fear? There is a verse, very nice verse in Bhagavatam. Ketanne vidyamanana icchata makuto bhayam yoginam drupanirnitam hare namanu kirtanam. He says, etanir vidyamanano. Even if one wants to have all desire or having no desires, icchatam, akutobayam, if one wants to achieve a state of fearlessness, yoginam drupanirnitam, all great learned people have said, hare namanu kirtanam. One who chants the holy name of Krishna will become totally fearless. There is no fear. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I used to fear very much darkness. When you walk in the dark, always you see a ghost may be there. After one becomes Krishna conscious, one can even go to Smashan, there is no fear. Because there is nothing to fear in this world. We have to fear that we should not have lack of Krishna consciousness. That is the only thing you have to fear. There is nothing else to fear. Because even Bhirati Yadi Bibheti, she says, in one of her prayers, Kuntipanani, Bhirati Yadi Bibheti. Fear personified trembles before Krishna, she says. Fear personified trembles before Krishna. There is nothing to fear in this world. So when we are chanting the holy name, wherever you are, if a great damage happens, somebody drops a bomb while chanting, then one will go back to Krishna, chanting his name. Or if there is no danger, then it's wonderful. Simply chanting the name gives so much joy to the soul. Because it is the nature of the soul to chant Krishna's names. Either way, life is very joyful. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So it is very safe, a very safe path to tread. So many places Akuto Bhayam comes in Bhagavatam, many, many places. That one can become free from all fear. It is the most safe path. Because in the yogis and jnanis case, yogis and jnanis are endeavoring themselves, working hard. And they have to inch by inch climb up, just like climbing a Mount Everest. Just imagine which is easy. If somebody comes and boards you in a helicopter, takes you to the top of the Mount Everest and puts you in the top and says, now you put the flag. Is that easy or you have to climb? You know, when you climb up Mount Everest, you know, sometimes they have to, they carry some tools. You have to put the tool, I don't know what they call it, just something like an axe or something. And catching that, and you have to climb a little more up. And then you have to put another one and climb up. Sometimes the mountain is so steep, you one slip, finished. There are people who have died also. Mountain trekking is not actually as normal as we do often in ordinary mountains. When you go to Mount Everest, it's very difficult. So the path of yogis and jnanis, it's very difficult. Kshurasya dara nishita durashaya durgam patastat kavyo vadanti. He says, durgam patastat kavyo vadanti. This path of spiritual life is very difficult. Durgam patastat kavyo vadanti. Kshurasya dara nishita durashaya. He says this, kshurasya dara means it's as sharp as a sword or a razor. It's very, very sharp. If one slips, then one can hurt himself terribly. So the meaning is simple, that if one who is studying the path of spiritual life, he will become a laughing stock if he falls from the standards. Like you are a devotee. Now one day somebody finds you breaking one of the principles, what do you think your colleagues will say? In a college, if students are studying, they say, if a person had a smoking habit before, now he has become a Hare Krishna devotee. Now after 1 year of controlling it, now again he wants to smoke, silently looks here and there and takes cigarette. If his friends see him, what do you think they will say? He will become a laughing stock. So in the same way, and the more you set standards higher and higher and higher, when you fall short of the standards, you will become a laughing stock. That will be very painful to the heart of a person. At the same time, one has to again work hard to climb up again and again. Like Vishwamitra's case, you see, he fell from the standards. Again, he had to rise. Vishwamitra, Saubramuni. You can give innumerable examples. That is why it is called the Kshurasya Dhara. It's a very... somebody may say, what is the reason for taking such a spiritual life which is infested with so much danger? If you don't take the spiritual life, then you will never become pure. You will just be all the time rotting in the material world. It's like there was a beautiful picture which showed there is an ocean of sewage. Ocean of sewage. Stinking. And there are people who are drowning in that sewage. There are people whose necks are outside there. You know, coming out and going in and coming out and going in. Some people are holding some liquor bottles in their hands. Some people are holding cigarettes. Some people are holding some pornographic magazines. And many are drowning actually, suffocating in that ocean. So they are not able to tolerate the smell on one hand. On the other hand, they want to be saved. They don't know what to do, how to be saved. And then there is a big ship that is coming back. Beautiful ship. Which is also loaded with hundreds and thousands of people. So in the head end of the ship, there is Prabhupada standing there. There is a beautiful flag which is gone. And Prabhupada is actually driving the ship. So that boat, that ship actually represents the society that Prabhupada has created. And there are many people in that boat very happily chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And all are in happy smiles, and their bodies are very clean. They are very neat and clean. Women are wearing sarees, men are wearing dhoti kurta, children, all of them are happily smiling. Some people are very happy at the same time. They are looking down and trying to save some more people. They are throwing some ropes down and telling the people, please catch up, catch up. They are the preachers. They are preaching and telling people, please come up. So they want them also to come into the society and tell us pure life. So some people are saying, they say, no, 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 I cannot catch the rope, you only lift me. So they can't lift them. So they are not putting any special effort. And there are some who look at the people throwing rope, they just take a boat and go away. They have no interest at all. There are some people like that. Some people have not even seen the ship only. They are far, far away like that. So that is the condition of some people. So this is a very sensible picture. Because the ship is marching ahead. Kalau dosha nidhe, that is the sewage. Dosha nidhe means ocean of faults. Kalau dosha nidhe rajan astihi ekan mahan guna. There is one good quality in Kali Yuga. What is that? Ketana eva krishnasya mutasanga paramdade. When devotees like this, they do kirtan, they can actually do ultimate good. Kirtana deva krishnasya muktasanga paramdade. So, large devotees are there, who are working on behalf of the Lord, and through those agents, Krishna is delivering so many suffering people. And that is why Prabhupada calls it a faith, because Krishna is extra merciful. It's called as a Bhuri Karunaya. That is a verse by Gajendra.
Madhrasprapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya swanchena sarvatana brahmanasi pratita pratyagdushe bhagavate dhunate namaste.
Even if I quote this verse 1,000 times, I will not be satisfied. I have said it to many people many times. This verse is so touching to heart. He says, Madhrasprapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. My dear Lord, I am now, pasha means ropes, bound by the ropes of animalistic body. That's a Gajendra. Animal body is in the mode of ignorance. So I am bound in this body. He's saying, Madhrit Prapanna, Pashupasha Mokshanaya. Prapanna means surrender. I am surrendering to you. And I don't know how to surrender to you properly. Because my mind is dominated by passion, ignorance and such a rare qualities. But you are so nice, you are so kind. Muktaya, you are always in a liberated platform. See, only a liberated person can deliver us. Like all the people in the boat, they can put a rope and deliver the other people. Similarly, Krishna is always Muktaya. He is never bound. Bhuri Karunaya. Bhuri Karunaya means he is greatly merciful. Very greatly merciful. Namolayaya. He never gets tired in delivering the living entity. Even if the living entity becomes careless and goes here and there, Krishna again and again chases him, goes behind him, keeps on calling him, tells him, please come back, please come back. Please don't do this, please do this. Keeps on guiding. That's why, in one of the wonderful prayers, in Garuda and Krishna, when Krishna was a small baby, Mother Yashoda used to feed him. She used to make this dadhyonam, you know dadhyonam? Dadhyonam is made up of dahi. So she used to mix dahi in rice and mix it and prepare a very nice preparation. And she would feed Krishna in the night. And Krishna would never be interested to eat. He will move here, he will go there, he will go behind the cow. She has to go behind him. Wherever he would go, she will keep on chasing him. And again she will catch Krishna and keep him on the lap and try to feed him. Again he will cry, he will stand up and start walking, crawling here and there. So sometimes she would catch him and then show the moon. She look at the moon, and then when he starts staring at the moon, then immediately she would feed him. Like that. So you must have seen mothers trying to do that, isn't it? I don't know how many mothers do that nowadays. Whether they are so patient, probably they employ a servant like to feed the child. Because actually there is a particular kind of taste in that, parents derive. See, if you can imagine as soon as you call the child, concentration opens the mouth and you put the food and everything is finished. There's no fun in that, isn't it? Child moves here and there. Mother derives a great joy in feeding the child. So, this is the glorification of Krishna in one of the songs. How Mother Yashoda feeds Krishna. But I am telling the example, generally children do like that. If you see small child, they never will eat. Mother will prepare the food at 7 o'clock and practically 2 hours she will be feeding the child. 1.5 hours chasing the child here and there. But she is determined that I have to see that the child is eating this much amount of food today. Because if he doesn't eat, if he starves then he won't grow well. So she is determined. Similarly, this Paramatma in our heart is determined that I am going to give medicine to this person. That is why he is called as Namolayaya. He never gets tired. You keep on trying to push his hand away, he will keep on feeding it in your mouth. You say no, and he will say yes, sir. Keep feeding you. He will never leave you. He will come in various forms. at different times. How Krishna comes, nobody can predict. So that is why in this prayer he is saying, although I am born in animal body, still you are so kind that you are coming. So no matter how much you are fallen, Krishna will protect us. That is why it's called as a safe path, very safe path. And he is saying it is certain. Why is it certain? Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, my devotee will never perish. My devotee will certainly come back to me. Why is it certain? Because when you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. That is his nature. The assurance is given to Krishna himself. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee will never perish. I will see to it that my devotee achieves the ultimate goal of his life, of achieving me. Tesha maham samudharta. He says, I will come and deliver my devotee. Krishna is giving a promise. So he is giving promise himself, and he is telling his devotee Arjuna to give promise. What more do we want? What more do we expect from him? He is giving vachan. And Lord's vachan can never be denied. So he is promising that I will myself personally come and deliver my devotee. In one of the I think this comes in one of the prayers of Madhva setting, where it is said, the Lord says, if my devotee even is lying down on the ground and carelessly singing my name, I become very eager to hear. I sit and hear. And when he is sitting and chanting, I stand up and hear. When he is standing up and chanting, what I do? I dance and hear. When he chants and dances, then I become so overjoyed, I embrace him. We have the eagerness to become devotee ourselves. Somebody may say, what can I do? You know, I don't find so much taste in Krishna consciousness. No problem. God is more eager than you to take you back. So you don't have to worry. Some people wonder, I don't have so much taste to chant. I don't have so much taste to hear. I don't have so much taste for service. No problem. Just we have to see to it that we are sticking to the devotees. We should not leave the company of devotees. If we leave the devotees, then we are finished. But if we just carry on with devotees, then you will see that Krishna is taking extra interest and he will bring you to his lotus feet. That is his problem. It is certain. You can see there are some people who all the time keep quibbling. Oh, I am very, very fallen, you know, and lust is attacking me hard, pride is attacking me hard. I am very fallen. And I have seen them 15, 20 years in the movement peacefully going on. They all the time say, you know, I am not able to practice Krishna consciousness. So, but you see them, how did they stay 15, 20 years chanting 15 rounds? This is one good quality. No matter how much disqualified we are, if you make it a point that I will never quit Krishna consciousness, I will always stay, then Krishna can assure you, it is certain. So this is our only qualification, not to leave Krishna, but in the midst of all adversities, to stay in Krishna consciousness. That is why there is a very meaningful statement which says, it reads like this, the goal of war is not conquest, but to have struggled well. What is the goal of war? It's not conquest. It is to have struggled well. So similarly in Krishna consciousness also, if we have struggled well from our side, endeavoring to become Krishna conscious, then we have done our part. Similarly, in any endeavor, the success is, the accomplishment is not the goal, but to have tried well, but to have done well. We should do our best. And then it is Krishna's problem after that. As Prabhupada says, it is certain, you can see even when we become distracted, Krishna will catch us from behind. Like you see Kala Krishna Das, when Chetamapur took him as a servant and he went south, he became bewildered by the Bhattaharis and he went into the circle. He would have become thoroughly fallen, but Chetamapur caught hold of his hair and pulled him out of the crowd. He went inside the crowd and he pulled him out and brought him back to track. So this is the duty of devotion service. You won't find this in the path of a yogi or a jnani. Yogi or jnani again has to reinstate himself. Whereas the bhakta has the assurance, because Lord says, I am the deliverer of my devotee. I am present watching my devotee, what he is doing, where is he going, how is he faring in devotional life. And he is saying direct, why he is saying direct? So he is saying direct because Lord directly relates with the devotee. Like he says, where it was? Yogakshan Mahamaham was? Ananya Sutantama Yejana Paripasate Tesha Nitya Vyaksha Vittana Yogakshan Bahami Aham. He says, Aham means I. I personally carry what they lack. I preserve what they have. This is God's promise. I personally do that. God personally does that. So you all know the story of Arjuna Charyat, isn't it?
Yes.
How Krishna Balaram came to their house, bringing the required ingredients for his wife to cook. Actually, when he saw this verse, he said, Yo Kshema Bahami Aham. Why he says Bahami Aham? He himself has said, maybe he must be doing through the demigods or through some agent. God wanted to show. So he had striped off that land. In order to disprove that land, in order to disprove the wrong notion of Arjunacharya, he himself came. Krishna Balaram brought all the ingredients to home when Arjunacharya had gone out. And then in their body there were scratch marks. That's why in our books we should never scratch any of the Akshara letter in the book. Because the book is considered to be deity. It is non-different from deity of Krishna. So we can underline. If you are underlining, it's like putting ornaments on the deity. But if you are striking off a line, then it is considered wrong. It should not be done. So Lord proved that. He personally came. Yoga Kshemam Bahami Aham. He directly saved this devotee. How Lord Krishna saved Arjuna from Jayadrath, how he saved Arjuna from Bhishma Pitaman. Later on, Parikshit Maharaj in one of the verses says, my Pandava forefathers, like Arjuna and Yudhishthira, all of them, how did they cross over this great ocean of Kurukshetra war? It is like a vast ocean. And all great warriors like Bhishma Pitama, Drona, Karna, all of them are like Timingalas. Can you imagine a small boy crossing a ocean which is infested with big, big Timingalas and big, big fishes, swimming across the ocean and going to the other side? This was impossible for my forefathers. But Krishna made it possible, because Krishna directly protected them. This is the beauty of devotion service. You see, we should be ready to hand over the charge to Krishna in our life. Then he will protect us. Like in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna told Krishna, Sena yor bhayor madhye ratam sthapayame achyata. Yes, Achyuta, put my chariot in the midst of both armies so that I can supervise who has come and who has not come. So Arjuna was taking the charge on his own hands. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, what did Arjuna say? Karishye vachanantava. I am handing over the charge to you, Krishna. You run my life. You do whatever is appropriate for me to do. So this body also is compared to a chariot. The five senses are compared to the horses. The ropes are compared to the mind. So we have to hand over the mind to Krishna. We should make Krishna the driver of this body. So our intelligence should be one with Guru's intelligence or Krishna's intelligence. That's why we say, Arna Kariho Mane Asha. Let me not do anything whimsically. Let me hand over charge to Krishna. So Krishna takes charge of a chariot, then he knows what is best for us. So we have to be guided by him. If we are guided by him, then we are very safe. So Krishna is actually ready to guide anyone who is willing to be guided. So we have to just express our willingness. So when we chant Hare Krishna every day, this is what we pray. Krishna, although I am suffering in this world, always, all that line, Bhaktivinoda Thakura sings a nice song. He says, in that song, Ekona Bhujinu Prabhu, that's a nice line. He says, Satantra Jeevana.
Bada Dukkha Paiya.
Bada Dukkha Paiya Chi, Satantra Jeevana.
Dukkha
Dura Gele. Dukkha Dura Gele. Very nice name. She is saying, Badaduka Paryasi, my dear Lord, I have experienced enormous untold miseries in this world by being independent of you. Now I don't want to be independent anymore. Now you take charge of my life. And you guide me. Whatever you say, I will do. Whatever you say not to do, I won't do. So this is the way we have to mold our life. So if we hear from devotees and we just follow purely in our life, then we are protected. Such so three solid words of us saying, safe, certain and direct. So nothing to worry in life. Simply be Krishna conscious, and it is Krishna's problem to deliver us from this world and take us back to his own abode. So even if you are sleeping during death or you are awake during death, wherever you are, there was an article in BTG, one old devotee, she came to Vrindavan to leave her body. Generally devotees worldwide, they want to leave their body in Vrindavan so that they can leave the body in proper consciousness, and when you leave the body in dham, you will never come back. So they come to dham. But then she came to Dhanam and she became all right. Sickness went away. Properly, she came for 1 or 2 months stay, she thought she would die. Disease went away, she became all right in 1 year. So she went back to Alachua, I think. She came from Alachua. And that was Jiva, and after 4 or 5 years of serving there, she left her body there. But then there was an article which said, how a devotee need not worry where he leaves the body. Whether he leaves the body in Dham or not, whether he leaves the body in any other place, he doesn't have to worry. Like Bhishma Pitamana, you see, he, of course, did Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana. He was a great yogi. He controlled his senses, everything. So he connected his yogic path of Ashtanga Yoga. He utilized it for focusing it on Krishna. This is the perfection of Ashtanga path. See, in Ashtanga path, people derive many things. Some people get benefits like siddhis, some yogic siddhis they get. There are others who go, actually there are preliminary people who only do Hatha Yoga, gaining control over mind and senses. There are others who get some siddhis. But then when one goes higher, then some people want to go to Siddha Loka. Whereas, the perfect yogi is one, as Krishna says, yogi naam api sarvesham, madhate nantaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yoma. One who worships me with great Shraddha. So here is Bhishma Pitamaha, who was the best of the yogis. And he utilized his control of mind and senses and focusing it on Krishna. And he had a ichamrityu. He could leave his body at any time he wanted. So he followed these conditions that are given here. Shukla Krishna Gati Hiyate. So he followed these conditions. As I told you in the last week, a devotee doesn't care about auspiciousness and inauspiciousness in service to Krishna. But if he can serve Krishna in auspiciousness, he accepts that. Remember I was telling you, Prabhupada would not travel on a Thursday, generally. But if there's a very important program on a Thursday, hell with all those rules and regulations. So he'll travel on Thursday. Similarly, he was a yogi, he could leave his body at his will. He was lying in the Kurukshetra Vat, on the arrow bed. So he could extend his time of living. And he also asked that Krishna should come in as friend and appear in his friend, and seeing Krishna's form, he will leave his body. And he matched all these things, and beholding the beauty of Krishna, he left his body. So devotee may choose his time to live. Like Haridasa Thakura also chose his time to live. That was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later. Mahaprabhu said he chose to leave his body. Although I didn't want him to leave. And Haridasa Thakura said, I want to leave this world. Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, without you, how can I live in this world? It is because of your glorification of the holy name and your encouragement that I have come here and I am living. How, without you, can I continue my life? Mahaprabhu asked. Then Haridasa Thakura said, why are you increasing my illusion? I am just like a small, tiny ant. If a small ant dies in this world, will it make any difference to the world? So this was his consciousness. So Haridasa Thakura said, my dear Lord, I know very well that you are very soon going to wind up your pastimes in this world and go back home back to Godhead. So I don't want to see that happening. So before you leave, I want to leave this world. So please permit me. I want to leave. Nirmala Chaitanya permitted him. So next day morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with all devotees. And all devotees surrounded Haridasa Thakura. And there was a roaring kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All of them were chanting. The chanting was increasing higher and higher and higher and higher. And the whole atmosphere became surcharged with spiritual vibration. And Haridasa Thakura called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came near. He took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's daughter's seat, kept it on his chest. And beholding the beautiful eyes which are like bumblebees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, catching the feet of Mahaprabhu on his chest, Haridasa Thakura chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he left his body, chanting the Lord's names. And surrounded by devotees chanting Krishna's names, he left his body. So devotees always want to leave body in Krishna consciousness like this. They should be our aspiration, wherever we die. So we will make life very comfortable, we are living happily, but that's not considered a success. What is considered a success in life? Living body in Krishna consciousness. Haridasa Thakura left like that. So that is also ichamrityu. He desired that, let me leave the body like this. So there is nothing wrong in that. Bhishma Pitamaha made all the arrangements that he should leave the body in Uttarayan, leave the body in light, see Krishna's form. So nothing wrong in that. He could connect the auspiciousness along with Krishna and then leave his body like that. If we cannot do all that, we don't have to worry. We can just living our life in such a way that Krishna stays with us and he will make an arrangement to take us back at the right time. Hare Krishna. See, love from below, Shri Rupa Goswami advises anasakta svishyan yatarkam upayanjitaka. One should be unattached in material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. By this system, which is called Yuta Vairagya, one attains perfection. So, the devotee has to just do this Yuta Vairagya, engage everything in Krishna service, one's body, mind and words. Then his passage to the Supreme Lord is guaranteed. Any question? One question? Anybody has? Even a devotee who is entering devotion service may be suffering enormous temptations and things like that in the current life owing to his past misdeeds. So a devotee should just carry on like that. See, if you have done a lot of sins in the past, then Krishna only gives a token result to that. He doesn't give complete result. If only he gave complete result, we won't be here. He cannot survive in devotion life. He just gives a token which is tolerable by us. So, like temptations come, three modes are shaking us, so we will be able to tolerate. That much token only gives us. And the devotee should continue to, there is a verse in the 11th canto, I think Lord Krishna is Uddhava. A devotee who tolerates all impediments that come in his spiritual life. Durgani. It comes to Durgani. Durga means very difficult to tolerate things. If a devotee tolerates, understanding that these difficulties are coming on to my own past sense, and he continues entering devotion service, then Lord is very pleased with such a matpratada tarishati. By my mercy, such a devotee is delivered very soon. So we have to show to Krishna that no matter how many difficulties come in my life, I will never leave your feet. I will always cling to your feet. So that is the thing devotee can do. Temptation will certainly come according to our past mistakes, yeah. But Krishna can reduce the proportion. He can make it a token punishment.
Why
not give that also?
No, I mean, he wants that the devotee should not use the past. So he tests according to his ability. So why still he tests like that?
He is asking why he is testing. See, by testing only we become purified. See, it is not done by Krishna alone. Actually, Krishna, Maya, Brahma, they all have collaboration. Collaborators, sorry. Like, you know, Maya, you see, Maya creates the body. Maya has created so many sense objects in this world to divert a person. Brahma is creating that. And Durga Devi is a screener. She does the screening work. So she gives you higher and higher tests. Standard 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, when you go higher and higher levels of tests. So she will put us in test. And then after she is convinced, yes, this person is perfect now. He is fit to go back to Godhead. And she will release a person. And then he is under Krishna's custody after that. Completely under Krishna's custody. So Krishna, through the agency of Maya, may put us into many tests. So we should take it as test and succeed in that. So every time you pass in a test, you go one step higher. The test comes, you pass, you go one step higher. Again one step higher. Of course, when you go to one step higher, then the test will be a little more severe at that stage. See, is there anyone here who will say, oh, if I go to, you know, 10th standard, I have to get tests of higher nature. Better not go to 10th standard only. Anybody always live in 8th standard? We go higher, we know that the subject is going to be tougher. You know, every time you all must have experience when you go to higher and higher standards, isn't it? The previous standard books, how do they become? Very easy, isn't it? What is studied in the elementary school days? Now you can teach anybody. But then you know the next standard is going to be tougher. Like, you know, in the 10th standard, you never know what is this integral calculus, how long it is. When you go to 11th standard, you learn differential calculus, integral calculus, a new thing. But you don't say it's a new thing, you know, I don't want to touch a new thing. So learn. And then you are tested accordingly. And then you go higher and higher. For a doctorate person, the test will also be like doctorate level. Like that. And then when Krishna has seen a person as thoroughly pure, then you take them back. Tests are required, just like gold is put in fire. Then the gold becomes purified by the fire, and real the gold can shine forth. Similarly, we can shine in the original purity when we are put to test. Of course, everyone gets different type of tests at different times, different tests. But tests certainly do come in devotee's life.
This is
but if a devotee is very sincere, he can very easily pass the test. Just like a boy is studying, now the college starts, right from now he is studying. every day he comes back, he does the homework, he reads the books properly, he gives the midterm exam, end-term and everything. When the exam comes, it's very easy, he studied everything. It's very easy for him to pass the test. So devotees, many big devotees are very easy to pass the test, if you see. Huh? Many great devotees, you see how they pass the test so easily in the lives of great devotees, like Ambarish Maharaj. Now Ambarish was never told, Ambarish, tomorrow there is going to be a test, Durvasa Muni will come, let me see how you are behaving. Lord never came in the dream and told them, did he tell them? So test, it was actually an uninformed test. So imagine, go to college,
surprise
test. You must have experienced the thing, isn't it? So who can pass the surprise test? Only a boy who is well prepared, isn't it? See, we are always studying regularly what the professor has finished, you are finishing up to that extent. When surface test comes, you can easily pass it. Like that. So devotee should be ever ready. Ever ready for such test. So very nice verse. Next verse is a concluding verse, I think. Very nice verse. We can discuss next week. Krishna, thank you very much.